Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would go into the Old Testament, start out with the book of Exodus, chapter 23. So we're going to start out today. I'm going to kind of deviate from the message that I've been preaching on 10 steps on King's Road and kind of go off with a little bit of a different vein this morning. So if you're taking notes and you see I'm messing your notes all up, well, I'm sorry, but it'll be a fresh new message. Just turn over a page and you can take notes over there. But everybody, I don't know if you know, if you may have some guests here that didn't know this morning, but today is Pentecost Sunday. Amen. We've been waiting 7 weeks. I've been preaching for 7 weeks to get to today. And I believe for miracles this day. Do you believe in a God of miracles? Yes. Believe God can do miracles? I know God is still in the miracle working business. Amen? And I just believe that we're going to leave this building here after a while, charged and energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out in the world and do everything that He wants us to do. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, get ready. Look at somebody else and say, oh, I'm talking to you. Get ready. Y'all aren't participating. Y'all just still sitting there looking at me. Get the person beside you, shake them a little bit and say, wake up. Look at somebody else, say, you look so nice when you comb your hair. So on the day of Pentecost, I want to start back in the Old Testament here just for a minute. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, we find in verse 14 through 17, some scriptures here. Let me just read them for you. It says, 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in a year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I have commanded you, and at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in that you will come out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. For the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, at the end of the year, you shall gather the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times a year, all males shall appear before the Lord. So in Israel in that day, when Moses was given all the people of law, said every male, 3 times a year, has to come and present themselves before the Lord. Nobody was without excuse. Matter of fact, if you go over to Leviticus and you looked, if they didn't present themselves, they were in danger of death, stoning. Pretty serious stuff, huh? Said 3 times a year, but if you notice all 3 times, if you'll let me put it in Texas terms, they were having a big barbecue when it happened. They were having a feast. They don't call it a feast if you're not feasting. They had a feast. Everybody came to church. Everybody came to the temple. And they came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, they couldn't present themselves before the Holy of Holies because nobody could go into the Holiest of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was and where the presence of God was, because only the priest could go in there, and he only went in there once a year. But they came to the outer court and to the middle court, and they came in there and they presented themselves before the Lord. They set it and dedicated it in their heart that day they were going to stand before their maker, their creator. Amen? A lot of times in church we spend too much time just coming in and going from church. We just come and go to church because that's the thing to do, is to go to church, or we're in a habit of going to church or whatever. We don't really think about what we're doing. We don't really think about that. When we enter into the doors of the sanctuary and we begin to enter into praise and worship, that we're entering into the presence of God, and therefore we're presenting ourselves to Him. Y'all with me? This is truly the concept of what church is about. Not a social club, not a clique, not something you just come to because you're supposed to, or you need something. We come to church because it's presenting yourselves before the Lord. Amen? Okay, so when he talks about here the feast of the ingathering here, he's talking about Pentecost, because it was Passover, Pentecost, and the Day of Atonement was the other words that you can use for these three feasts, okay? Passover being Easter that we celebrate. Pentecost being today, 50 days after Jesus is resurrected. And then the other The other is the Day of Atonements, in, usually in September sometime, that the high priest would go in and make an atonement for all the sins of Israel. So today's a special day. Today's a day, according to the scriptures, that we're to present ourselves before the Lord. Amen? Okay. Now, if you want, if you go a little farther, let's see. Let's jump back over. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's start there. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at what happened on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, it says, verse 1, "Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Now, this has always been explained to me, because it makes it seem like they were in an isolated house, but really what the temple in Jerusalem was so large at that time, and what's always been explained to me about this scripture, is that, you know, just like all of us, we kind of gather to people that we have like faith with and like desires with. Y'all with me? All you guys that are fishermen, you talk about fishing. Golfers talk about golfing. Y'all always talking about golfing. I just stand around, look, laugh. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't play golf. Don't want to play golf. Don't like golf. I like to shoot golf balls with a 22, but that's about as good as I can come, you know. So, you know, maybe someday something will click on the inside of me and I want to change it. Right now, I feel like I have enough frustrating things in my life. I don't need golf to add to it. Because I am not a naturally good golfer. And so, anyway, long story short, you gather with people that, you know, that you have like conversation with and like desires with. And what would happen in this day is when they'd go to church, the temple was great big, and they would gather together, you know, in groups. Hundreds of people would be, you know, so it's like church inside of a big church. All right? And so it says that they were all there in one accord. And look, verse 2, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Say it again, say suddenly. Now, suddenlies are unexpected, right? Because if it was at the time, you would say, at the time it appeared, you wouldn't say suddenly. Suddenly didn't mean you weren't expecting it. So they went to church, they went to the synagogue that day to celebrate Passover, because they were good Jewish boys and they were supposed to, and they went into the temple. But God had a different plan. And I'm telling you what, talking to you this morning here in church, I'm telling you, God has a different plan than what we see going on in the world today. Hear me now. God has a different plan. God wants to do something different. Hear me now. I'm not talking about odd, strange. I'm talking about, I just know that God right now really wants to move in the world. He wants to move in people's hearts. He wants to touch people. He wants to bless people. And for too long, it has been uncool to be Christian. And I'm telling you, it's about to become really cool to be Christian. For too long, it has been, you know, oh, the world's trying to go out and live in the world. I think a lot of the world has been living in the world and decided they don't like what the world's offering and they want something different. But we got to be a church that can show people the power and presence and joy of the Lord. Not a bunch of religious hoopla. Not a bunch of doctrines and do's and don'ts. But a life-giving, breathing relationship with a living God. Amen? Something that somebody can fall back on and pray and see an answer to their prayer. It gives them confidence. It gives them hope. It gives them joy to go into the world. My biggest concern right now in the world today is I'm so concerned about people who do not know Jesus, have no basis of any net of Jesus and Christianity underneath them in life. Because when they fall, where are they going to hit except the bottom? All of us, if you get in trouble, you can still cry out to Jesus because you know him. You may not understand everything. You may not understand why things are happening like this or why things are going like that or why you prayed that and this didn't work and how come. I can't even tell you that. But I want to tell you something. We got a God we can pray to. And we do all know times that we've seen him move. And we do know that there's things he's done in our heart and he's done in our life and that he's not a dead God. He's alive. Amen. And that he is the answer. You know why he's the answer? Because you know he's the answer because he was the answer for you. And he's the answer for everybody. Come on now. Listen to me. Quit thinking, well, some people, you know that. No, no, no. Get it in your head. Right now, Jesus is the answer for everybody and every problem everybody's got. I don't care what it is. I don't care how difficult or how simple. Jesus is the answer to that problem. Jesus will fix the marriage. Jesus will heal. Jesus will set free. He'll do anything. And the world, there's a segment of the world out there that wants to make it seem like any person that's really a conservative Christian, that you're like backwoods, you know, ignorant, uneducated, whatever. I'm telling you, we got the answer. And I'm telling you, God is wanting to suddenly do something. So I want to shock the world. Right now, I really think that people who don't serve Jesus think there's a chance they might win. They don't stand a chance. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, let's get this picture here. Heaven broke loose from heaven and came to earth. And there was a noticeable sound. All right? It wasn't, oh, I think I feel something. No, no, no. It was a noticeable sound, and noticeably something appeared, something changed, something happened. Are y'all with me? You don't think that in a moment, in a second, that God could break forth upon believers, if he could find some believers that would be believing in him, at a moment and transcend from heaven to earth and make an obvious showing. Just because this happened over 2,000 years ago doesn't mean it couldn't happen again today. Are y'all with me? It's the hearts of the believer and the hearts of the people that want to believe in God. Is he going to move or not? Over and over and over throughout the scriptures, Jesus came to people and he said, well, according to your faith, be done to you. And see, I don't want to emotionally work things up, but I just want to be prepared by faith in my heart for God's miracles to take place. Amen? So he says in verse 4, and they were all filled. The Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, hold on just a second right there. You can hold your place if you want. And go over to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Let's see what's happening here. God never does anything unless he's already going to tell everybody what he's going to do. He already spoke to the prophet Ezekiel over in Ezekiel 36 and told everybody what was going to take place. When the day of Pentecost happened, there may have been a lot of people standing around saying, wow, what is this that's going on? But I can guarantee you this, God wasn't thinking, whoa, what happened? He'd already prepared for it. He'd already set the day to happen. Because he said here in through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36, if you look here, in verse 25, he says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you should be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people and I will be your God. He always promised. God wanted to live and dwell in mankind. But in the Old Testament, because of the problem with sin, and because they could only offer the blood of bulls and sheep and goats, they had no blood of a sinless person, Jesus, to offer. Then God could only come upon the prophets, come upon the priests, come upon the kings for a moment and speak because of the sin problem. God wanted to live in us, but that we weren't a temple that he could live in. Because he is so absolutely good, if he got mixed in our temple, which is not so good, good is going to overcome evil, and it's going to be the end of you. So there had to be this time, and so God Almighty, the Father, is waiting to come to this time. He said, man, my promise is that I promise you, my spirit is going to live and dwell on the inside of you. Now, when Ezekiel prophesied this, everybody said, what? How? How could this be? How could it possibly happen that the Spirit of God could come and live and dwell in us? Because he can't. We're sinful. Now the day of Pentecost comes. Flip back to Acts chapter 2. Now the day of Pentecost comes. These guys are all out there having Pentecost. They're thinking about the feast of Pentecost. They're not thinking about that the Spirit of God's going to come upon them. But you see, Jesus had told the disciples, he said, I'm going to go to my Father, and I'm going to send it to my Father and to your Father. And what Jesus did, and I don't have time to go through all the scriptures and prove this out to me. You can go look it up yourself. But if you go look in the book of Hebrews, you find out that the temple that they were in was a pattern. It was a pattern of what was already in heaven. Because it says he gave them the pattern and showed them how to build the temple. It was a pattern. So you take a pattern after something that's already there, right? Hello? Y'all with me? So there was a pattern of the temple in the New Jerusalem in heaven, well, let me say. And when Jesus ascended to his Father, upon that mercy seat of that Ark of the Covenant just was a pattern. It was a pattern, but the real one was in heaven and the pattern of the one was there on earth. Jesus poured his own blood out upon that mercy seat, forever settling the fact that the sins of man had been dealt with. So now when the day of Pentecost happens, it's not like any other day of Pentecost, because there had never been a place for the remission of sin ever. Like there was that day, like there was that feast. They didn't know it on earth, what had taken place. They didn't understand it on earth until all the apostles had the revelation of what had gone on. They didn't know. They just went to church thinking, well, everything's just like it was last time we went to church. Or this Pentecost will be fun and it'll be exciting, but we're kind of sad because Jesus is not with us, because they celebrated Pentecost with Jesus on earth. You think about that? Jesus celebrated the Passover, so Jesus would also celebrate Pentecost. So the disciples had gone to church with Jesus prior to this Pentecost in his life, and had Pentecost. I don't think y'all are getting this. Y'all just looking at me like a cow going through a new gate. See, what I'm trying to say to you is that if you do something in repetition all your life, if you go to church in repetition, if you do anything in repetition, you're always doing it in repetition. If you go eat, if you have your same Thanksgiving with your family every year and you eat the same turkey and the same dressing and the same biscuits and the same peas and the same thing and the same location, the same thing. Well, then when you go, you already know what to expect and you just go through the motions. Are you listening to me? They had gone through all the motions at Pentecost. They did it with Jesus, the Son of God. But now something's changed. His blood's been poured out in heaven, and the sins of man, the atonement has taken place, and the sins of man has been dealt with. And so now they go into Pentecost. They don't know what's going on. They're just going through their little service, and all of a sudden, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a change. Whoo, man. There'd been a new dispensation brought about on mankind. Now, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is going to fulfill what it said. He's going to come live and dwell in man, because now man's sin problem has been dealt with, and they can become the temple of the living God. Y'all with me on this? Let's read a little farther. And it says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled and looked to one another, saying, look, are not these who speak Galatians? And how is it that we hear each in our own language which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those who dwell in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, joining the Cyrenians, visitors, and Romans, and Jews and proselytes, Cretan Arabs. We hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. There were 16 nations there that said there were 16 different languages going off at that moment and at that time. And every person was hearing themselves, hearing those disciples speak in a language that they understood. And they understood what it was saying. It was understood that they were glorifying God. The miracle here was, is those people did not know the language. And the language they were speaking, if you let me say, in tongues. They were speaking in languages. They were speaking in a language out of their mouth. And they didn't know what they were saying. But the people that heard them knew what they were saying. But they didn't know what they were saying. Now, is that just messing up society some? But as you know, that wasn't the very first time God messed up languages. If you all go all the way back into Genesis, you can find the Tower of Babel. Everybody in the first originally spoke all the same language. And God confounded their language because they were trying to build a temple. Listen to me here. Listen to me. They were trying to build a temple that was going to ascend up to heaven, that was going to be at the heights of heaven so they could be equal with God. That's what they said. In the land of Shinar, that's what they were going to do. They're going to build a temple that would be equal with God. God said, well, we're not going to put up with this. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't God just say, stupid, you can't build a temple big enough to get up here? You ever think about that? I want to tell you something. When people are unified, when people have the same vision and speaking the same language, and I don't mean English and Spanish and whatever, I'm talking about when all people are speaking faith and all people are believing the word's true, and all people are walking together in agreement, there's nothing that can't be done. There's no miracle God won't do. There's nothing that can't happen. You can ascend to the heights. You can be right there with God. You can walk with God, but it takes unity. It takes agreement. So there, God said, well, I'm going to confound the language because these guys are in the confounded the language. Here, he brings it all back together. They're all speaking different languages, but they're all hear them saying one thing. They're glorifying God. Y'all with me? Now, I love this. Verse 12. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13. Others mocked, saying, oh, they're all full of new wine. Now, I hate to admit this, but it is the truth. That I have been intoxicated a few times in my life. And I've been in places where people were intoxicated. And I never heard anybody giving God glory. I know you saintly people don't have any earthly idea what I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you. In the darkness of those places, ain't nobody praising God, and I have never thought, well, they're looking like them church people. So the only thing that I can gather from the statement of them thinking that everybody was drunk was joy. That people were laughing. People were staggering. People were acting out of place, out of character. Are y'all with me here? Wouldn't that be fun in church? That's the kind of church I want to pastor. One that everybody's so full of joy, we can't even have time to even preach. Everybody just laughing and having a good time. Are y'all with me here? That all your concerns, all your fears, all your anxieties are so gone that you've come into the presence of God and there's just joy in your heart and joy in your life. And you just know that everything's okay and you don't have to worry about anything and everything's set and everything's done and there's no problem. When the Spirit of God showed up in full force, that's what happened. Nobody was really worried about anything. They weren't worried about their reputation. They weren't worried about how they looked, how they acted. They weren't worried about anything. God was in the house, and that's all they cared about. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Goes on down here, and it says, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised up his voice, and he said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you, you, and heed my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and the great and the awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now let me show you something here. The very first of verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," says God. When Jesus is resurrected, and he ascended into heaven. However you want to count time, however you want to do this, but we entered into the last dispensation, or the last days right then. The age of grace. In which all men, according to verse 21, could be saved who call out upon the name of Jesus. Amen? You're with me. Something happened. The clock clicked to an hour in which God changed every other dispensation that had been in this earth. Every other way that people had been operating before. It got changed instantly. Boom, it changed. There's a new dispensation. And then that day, 2,000 years ago, we entered into what's called the last days. But the last days doesn't mean that it's all going to keep operating the same. There's going to be a difference In the period of the last days, there's going to be changes too. Because he says that the sun's going to turn to blood and the moon's going to turn to blood and before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. You know, so there's a time period within the last days. Are y'all with me? In other words, it's, you know, the last days from here to here, but, you know, three quarters of the way down, boom, here, then something else can happen. But we entered into that time. The dispensation of the age of grace, whereby a man can call out on the name of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and be saved. His sins can be forgiven and he can be headed to heaven and he can become the temple of the living God. Now, I'm not having to come and go and study this out and look at this theologically. I'm just reading and saying what the Bible says and what Peter stood up and said. I'm going to let Peter interpret. So we're hearing from the Apostle Peter this morning saying, this is what Joel in the Old Testament said was going to happen. It's happened. This is it. So why am I going to argue with him? You with me? He says, God's pouring out his spirit and something's going to happen. Look here, verse 17. "I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh and your sons and daughters shall prophesy and your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, men and women alike." He's pouring out his spirit, but when he pours out his spirit, it causes you to do something. Now, prophesy in that verse doesn't mean foretell the future. Prophesy right there means to declare the good news or declare what God's doing or to declare what God's doing for you. Or what you know God will do. Y'all with me? So in other words, when the Spirit of God came in on the day of Pentecost, God made everybody a preacher. He filled everybody with the Spirit, made everybody a preacher, and said, you have the power now on the inside of you. The Spirit of God living and dwelling on the inside of you. And you have the ability to tell people about Jesus. some of the young men are going to have visions and the old men are going to dream dreams. I know why God, when I was a young man, I never understood that. Now that I'm an older man, I do understand that. Young men have visions and want to run with the vision and go do that. And older men, we just want to sit around and dream and see if the young men won't do what we want them to do because we don't want to run and do it. We like to make suggestions and see if they won't do it. Hello? So God knew what was going on. He said it was going to happen that way. But everybody became a preacher. Why? Because you became the temple of the living God and the Spirit of God came to live and dwell on the inside of you. Folks, we can't have the Spirit of God living in us and still live the same. It's got to compel us to be different. It's got to compel us to change. And it's got to compel us, listen, not just so that we want to get to heaven. See, for too long, the Christian church is everybody just want to get saved to get to heaven. Well, it's a good thing to go to heaven and not to hell. But folks, there's a dying world out there. There's people out there that don't know about Jesus. There's people out there going through problems and have nobody to turn to, have nobody to have it as an answer or comfort or hope. And you have the answer. You have the answer. It's Jesus. And he lives in you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Folks, we should be living supernatural lives. We should be living a life that when frustrations and problems are coming your way, that you're going to instantly be wanting to turn to Jesus and you're going to have, he's going to be the answer to every solution you have. Or situation you have, excuse me. It's going to be the answer to everything you're doing, everything you're going through, everything. It's Jesus. Why do we make him the last thing? Why do we wait till we've exhausted everything that we have, every resource that we have, every way that we try, and then we turn to prayer? Why don't we make it first? Why don't we make it ever a part of our lives? Why don't we make Jesus so a part of our lives and in everything that we're doing that, I mean, people are just have to say, man, you were different. And then you're prophesying. Have you ever been in a room full of people and everybody's talking about this and that and the other, and finally you just stop and you say, have we prayed about this? And see what happens? I have this man that I've been ministering to for years and years and years, and I always say that to him all the time, and he just knows I'm going to come up with it. And he has this understanding that you've only got so many prayers, you only want to call on the, you know, the big man upstairs on just one for major things, and don't use up your, you know, your brownie cards or however you look at it, you know. So don't be bothering about little things, you know, and you take care of all the little things. And if it really gets bad, then you go to the Lord, but don't use them up. And I'm like, well, how many do you have? Well, I'm not sure. That's why I don't want to use them up. And so I'm forever saying, well, okay, well, I'll be praying about that. And you hear the pause on the phone. And I say, it's okay. I got plenty. I have plenty of them. I have plenty of branding cards, man. I get them in there anytime I want to. So it's all right. I'm praying about it, all right? But he knows that's going to be my first thing. I'll say, well, we prayed about this, you know? And he's just like, oh, Robert. It's not that big. No, it is big. Y'all with me? We should never have an attitude like that. We should have an attitude that it's the first thing we want to do. We want God involved in everything we're doing. Oh, here you go. Cooking. Do you get God involved pre-cooking, or do you just pray over it after you cooked it? You say, oh, Robert, that... Hey, man, they got E. coli killing people. Maybe you need to be praying about it. Maybe God says, look, you need to cook that about 25 degrees hotter than you usually do. Come on. I'm just telling you, folks, we live in some crazy, crazy times. Things aren't like they used to be. Things are not like they used to be. They had that study out the other day about hamburgers in fast food restaurants that they had to have at least 40% meat in them. Wasn't that what it was? At least 40? No, or it could be. It could be 40% other. That's what it was. So it had to be 60% meat, and there could be 40% other. I'm like, what's the other? What's almost half of my burger made out of something else? What are you talking about? I would like to know what it is. So that changes the whole thing. You just don't pray, Father, I just think you and ask you to bless this food. You're like, God, whatever's in it, don't let it kill me, my Lord Jesus. Prayers change here, folks. See what I'm saying? You should not have to worry about it. A hamburger used to be a hamburger. Now there's 40% something else in it. And the Fed said, that's okay. Well, just as long as there's at least, you know, you got to have 60. You know, well, I want to know. That's the most craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Are y'all with me here? You certainly trying to change your thinking about praying over your food, huh? Yeah, whatever is coming in. Got E. coli on it. Got salmonella in it. Got this, got that, got whatever, right? All I'm saying to you is that these days are days that we need everything God has for us. We need to be fully equipped. We need to be sharp as we can. We need God involved in every aspect of everything in our lives. And we should not be intimidated by the world and what the world thinks. Should not be intimidated by what the world thinks. I don't know how come when people begin to say that they're intellectuals, they get stupider. It seems as though the more knowledge they gain, the dumber they get. Maybe they put in knowledge and their brain can only has such a capacity, and they put some knowledge in and they had to get rid of something else, and so they got rid of something that was really like common sense and character. I got to say this. I'm probably going to get some serious trouble with this. So it's gonna, this whole thing going on with the representative, Mr. Weiner from New York. Anybody that can't figure out that that's wrong, they need to go have treatment. If you have to say, well, I don't know, let's think about this. Do you reckon that that's wrong to take off your clothes and take pictures of it and send it around the world to see? Huh, I wonder if that would, if you even have the slightest little bit of wondering about that, there's something wrong with you. You need some help. You need to go be rehabilitated. The world doesn't have any common sense at all. Not even a smidgen. Talk about need the Holy Ghost to say, what is the matter? What are you thinking? That's just like taking your thumb, putting it on an anvil and saying, I wonder if I hit it with a hammer if it'll hurt. You don't have to think about that. If there's a crab and it's got its pinchers out and you're going to put your finger in there to see if it's going to hurt, something's wrong. You're not using good judgment here, folks. I'm just telling you. The world is going backwards. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. We need the Spirit of God in every part of our lives. Now, I want to go back to the very first scripture I gave you and just bring it to your attention. It says three times a year, all the men should appear before the Lord. Why do you reckon it said that? I don't want to make you ladies mad at me, so I'm giving you some time to think. Because God had already set it up that men would be the heads of the household. The spiritual leaders of the household. They were supposed to be given direction. Right? Not dominating, not abusing, Come on, don't take me there. Y'all know that's not my heart. I'm just saying men were supposed to be the leaders of everything. And for too long, the Christian church has been run by women. God bless you. Thank you for doing it. Thank you that somebody was there to stand in there and the gap to do it. But men, I'm telling you, God is calling men at this day, in this time, in this hour, to stand up and be men. And to be men that are full of the Spirit of God, men that are heads of their households, men that will present themselves before the Lord and say, Lord, cleanse my heart. Lord, make me right. Folks, listen to me. Proverbs tells us that a person who has wisdom, the very first thing that he has to do is have the fear of the Lord in his life. It says that's a wise man. People this day have lost the fear of the Lord. They have no problem presenting themselves before the Lord because they don't even believe in God. And they have no problem walking with sin in their lives and then going ahead and justifying it and saying it's okay. And I believe with all of my heart what God is trying to call the church to do today, I'm talking about all church, not just this church, is that men have to reestablish their spiritual positions within their homes and over their homes and over their communities, over their businesses, over their lives, over everything that goes on. It needs to be men that are going to pray. Men, I challenge you. The next time you're eating lunch with a bunch of men and nobody seems to want to pray because it seems kind of, you know, whatever, you don't know what they're going to say, pray. Don't just bow your head and pray silently. Pray. Ask everybody at the table, says, can we just pray? Let's pray over the meal. They say, well, it makes me nervous because I don't really all know what to say. It doesn't really make any difference because they're going to be so nervous, they're not going to be listening to what you're saying anyway. And it doesn't have to be anything special. It can just be, Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you there's food on the table and you're blessing us, Lord. Thank you for it. Amen. And whatever the other 40% is, don't let it kill us. Tell them that and then ask if they want prayer. I'm telling you, our young people will turn back to serving God if they'll see men serve God. They'll turn back to serving God because it'll become the standard, it'll become the norm that men stand up and pray and men aren't afraid of Jesus and men aren't afraid of standing up for the Word. For too long, we've all tried to figure out, listen to me, that we were going to get everything perfect, and then when we were the perfect man, then it wouldn't make any difference. But I'm telling you what, you ain't never going to get there till you die. So we might as well start where we're at. Because we all are sinners who have fallen short, who need God's grace every day within our lives. There's not a one of us got it all down to walking in perfection. So before you pray over the meal, if you say, Lord, just forgive me for all the stupid things I've done today, said today, and thought about today, and I just thank you for blessing this and going on. Folks, listen to me. You're making headway. You're making progress. But it's time for men to stand up and be men. Men of God. So what I want to ask you today, men, is I want to challenge you. Because I believe that we're going to start with us today. And what I want to challenge you about is I want to ask you, here in just a minute, I want to ask you to come up to the front. And I want to ask you just to line up right around here. And as men, I want to ask you to present yourself to the Lord. You. I'm not going to lead you through a prayer. I'm not asking you anything. It's you, however, you right here. To make this a point that you walk up here and this is your day. And then I want to ask you to allow me to just walk by and to just anoint the front of your head with a little bit of oil, and I want to lay my hands on you. I just want to walk by and just put my hands on you. Because if you notice, and we've already talked about that through Ephesians chapter 19 and the other, Acts chapter 19, where Paul laid his hands on people and they became full of the Holy Spirit. And I want to believe today that just by the simple laying on of hands, the simple touch, that the Spirit of God will come upon you and fill you in everything you need wisdom for. In your business, in your marriage, in your jobs, in your relationships, in your life, and whatever. That God at that moment will impart into you the wisdom you need. And that when He imparts into you that wisdom, you may not understand it all right now. You may not even know anything. But I'm believing God by in the morning, something's going to start stirring. You're going to start to see some things. Some doors are going to start to open. As you allow God to make you aware of things, you're going to see things. You're going to see things. Men, you can't pray a prayer like, okay, Lord, I'm praying for this. And what I'm believing for is that if you, if I see a pink alligator run across the road tomorrow, I'll know that was you, Lord. Because that's just not going to happen. You're going to have to get serious and say, okay, Lord, I just ask you to just speak to me and show me, Holy Spirit, what you're trying to say and what you're trying to do. And I'm just keeping myself open to looking for you. And then He'll show it. It may be a song on the radio that comes on. It may be a person says something to you. It may be something else. But I'm telling you, God will speak to you and He'll show you exactly what you need to do to get things going right in your life. And we're going to start with us. We're going to start with us, men. Because it's got to start with us. And then once it starts with us, then you know what? It'll bleed down over your families. It'll bleed down over everybody you're around. It'll bleed down over your associates. It'll bleed down over your friends and your neighbors and everybody else. And it'll just start just bleeding down over every one of them. Because it started with you. Amen? So, Lord, can I ask you to come up here and play something? And, men, I just want to ask you, just come and line up from right over there around. Just fill up this front altar. And we're just going to believe God. Just come on up and give everybody enough room. We had to make two rows here. I don't know. We had to stand up a little closer to the front to get everybody lined up here. If we can't stretch all the way around, just make two rows. Okay, this is what I want to do. Ladies, I want to ask y'all just to worship God. Just ask God for a miracle to flow right now. Men, I want you just to... in your own way, right there. I'm going to make a general prayer. But in your own way, right there, you just talk to God. You just get it straight with Him, whatever you need to talk to Him about. And you present yourself to Him. So, Father, right now, we just come and we just stand here, Lord, and we do what Your Word says. We present ourselves to You. Lord, we ask for the empowerment of Your Holy Spirit upon our lives. That, God, we can be men of God. That we can hear Your voice. Lord, that we can understand Your leadings and Your guidings. That You can give us the wisdom that we need so that, Lord, we can lead our families right and operate in our businesses right and to do business properly, Lord. And those decisions that have been weighing on us and the pressures from just having to walk in this world. The temptations that are around all the time for us as men, Lord. I just declare they're destroyed right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I believe that as I come by and I lay my hands on them and just anoint them with oil as a sign of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that You come upon them. You come upon them and today they can say that on this Pentecost Sunday of 2000, their lives are changed. That that this Pentecost is a new Pentecost, a new day, oh God. Now, men, just worship Him. I'm just going to start quickly laying hands on you and just believe God. And just keep worshiping there. Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Spirit. We declare right now, Lord, we declare right now, as we present ourselves here to You, Lord God, we want to follow You, Jesus. We want to walk with You every day. We want to walk with You every day and in every way. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. We want to be more like You, Jesus. We want to be more like You, Jesus. So thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Now, men, say this with me. Say, thank You, Jesus, for filling me full of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to go do something, guys. Go back to your seats. If your wife's sitting there with you, somebody else around you, lay hands on them. Begin to pray for them right now. Ask God just to bless them and fill them full of the Holy Spirit. Just put your hand on them and just say, Lord, fill them full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, you can do it. Just lay hands on them, say, fill them full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, if there's somebody, some of the ladies sitting around you, they can get prayed for, lay your hands on, pray for them. Say, fill them full of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Now, church, listen to me. Ephesians 5:18, we'll talk about this next Sunday, but Ephesians 5:18 says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no one-time experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit like one time. That's like saying you're going to fill your car up with gas once. I've tried to wean my truck, and it won't work. It's be being filled. You got to come to the filling station and keep getting filled. Because you're going to, it's going to ooze out your toes and all the cracks in your life. The battles you fight, everything else that goes on in life. Let me tell you something. You got to keep getting filled, 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 filled. But today's a good start. Amen. And Sunday's going to be better. Because I want to tell you why. Just like that Pentecost was a new Pentecost. They'd never been had a Pentecost before with the atonement of Jesus' blood poured out for them. Never has this church been, starting next Sunday, a time when all the men had come up and presented themselves like that. So I'm telling you, next Sunday is going to be better than this Sunday. And the Sunday after that is even going to get better. And it's going to get more, and it's going to get stronger, it's going to get stronger, it's going to get stronger. And then you're going to say, "Woo, Lord, suddenly something happened at Living Waters Church." Amen. Do you believe me? Amen. Well, praise God. Stand to your feet. Look at the people around you. Look at somebody around you and say, "I, it's so good. I can't stand it." Now, I need you guys to pray for us this week. We'll be going to Guatemala. Laura and I and Bob and Crystal are going to be going to Guatemala. Jeff Arp has already left. He's going to be landing in Guatemala here in just a minute. He's going to be helping us. We've got to get a roof put on down there with the kids and get some other construction things done and get some things going. So we need your prayers all this week. So y'all pray for us. Don't leave us down there without prayer covering, okay? So pray for us down there. What's going on? I'll be back Sunday with a great report and tell you all the good things and show you some good with the kids. Amen. And so, Grab the person's hand beside you. And we're going to pray. And we're going to dismiss the service. And some of you prayer team people may want to come up here at the end of this. And if there's anybody here that you do need any prayer, do need anything extra, anything else going on you want some agreement about, well, praise God, we're here. But Lord, I ask tonight, right now, Lord, I declare what the Word of God says. I don't walk by what I see. I walk by what I know. And I know that men's hearts change today. And I declare, Lord, there's a spillover and a splash over, and there's things going to happen. I believe you for miracles this week. I believe you for signs and wonders this week. I believe you for people being witnessed to and talked to and encouraged and blessed and healed and set free. That you're going to put us across paths of people all over this area, Lord. And we're going to be able to talk to them and witness to them and minister to them. And Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for it, Lord. For those opportunities. Now I declare that what's been done in this building today is sealed in the hearts of the believers. I declare no devil in hell is going to steal it. And I declare that if he tries, we're going to see it. And we're going to get him out of the way and rebuke him and go on with what God's done. So Lord, we give you praise in this house today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Love you guys, and we're here for you if you need prayer.